Zone, omni-infamous and dangerous, and always in your face, pulling back that curtain. And we pull up that on waste, fraud, and abuse of government, police misconduct, and a whole other host of things that cost you your liberty, your freedom, and your hard-earned tax dollar. I'm Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric A. Sinati, Big A. Who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here on the Hostile Zone, every night of the week, prime time, on your FM dial, your AM dial, on iHeartRadio. Tune in, 2,300 stations in 57 countries. That's right, folks, you can catch us. Welcome to the show. I'm accompanied by my on-air vocalist, Miss Bianca C. S.
Bianca C, that's me.
How are you today?
Good. How are you? How is everyone today?
Lovely. But how was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Yes, absolutely. Right? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
I mean, I'm going to be eating turkey for the next month, I think, and just like everybody else.
I bet it's good turkey.
I'm sure. Wonderful turkey. And we're going to be talking turkey tonight, folks, because tonight is a topic that hits me deep inside because it reaches with everything that I stand for people's rights, and I stand for good quality, honest, clean government. And I believe in the book behind me here, the Constitution, the several copies we have here, and my book will be out this month on the Constitution. And we have a case that has hit the headlines hard. We're going to really hit this one hard tonight. We have some great guests with us. So again, welcome to the Hostile Zone. As always, we thank you. This is our second year on the air, and we went from one night a week to five nights to now I have a second show. This is just, we thank you, because if it's not for you, we wouldn't be here. So I have to thank you. Tonight, we're going to embark on an exploration of an extremely controversial and, I believe, a divisive story out of Georgia. Now, let me just throw a little caveat in there. We know that Georgia seems to have some issues with their government, maybe counting votes in elections. So I find that this particular story is atrocious, in my words, right from Sinati's mouth. It's atrocious when they can't manage their housekeeping in their own departments. Why do they reach into your home? What do I say on the show all the time? The government does not belong in your bedroom. They don't belong in your life. When Big Brother becomes your father, we no longer have a democratic republic. We are now calling ourselves the former Soviet Union. A mother was arrested because her 10-year-old son, went for a walk less than a mile from his home. Less than a mile from his home, a nearby town. We have the guests here that can give more details. Basically, this young boy, he walked to, I believe, Dollar General. And it was a nearby town, but we're talking like a mile or something like that. You know, whatever happened to the days when the street lights came on, you had to go home. I don't know. Everyone's calling this free range, like free range chickens, free range kids. But, we need our kids to have responsibility. We need our children to be prepared for tomorrow, because they are what are going to take us to the next day. And situations like this just really, really spark anger in me. This story has sparked outrage and has opened the floodgates on such a broader debate. And that is what is exciting about this for me, because there is a legislative discussion here. There's a Supreme Court discussion. There is a societal discussion. There is a what is good in your home may not be good in my home. This is a very large topic, but this is a debate on parenting. Now, everybody has different parents, and We're not going to do the woe is me and sit in the therapy chair and blame my life is bad because of my mom. That's not what this show is about. But we're talking about freedoms and your freedom as an American and God-given freedom, your inalienable rights to be here, an American, to be free. And part of that freedom is the choice of how you choose to raise your son or daughter. Now, you're a mother.
Yes.
Right? Do you want somebody telling you how to raise your son?
No. I appreciate advice, but exactly. I don't want someone controlling of how I should be.
And you don't need armed officers to come to your house.
Especially armed officers. I don't want the government to show how to.
We are in a sad state of affairs. We're in a sad state of affairs. Georgia has some wicked laws, the super speeder law. I could go on about some of the weird stuff in Georgia. But the floodgates are open, and we're talking about your liberty and your freedoms are compromised, and this is it. So we're going to get started, but we got to start off with the relevant quote of the day. And I picked these quotes, folks, so it is not given to me.
I'm looking for
okay. It is not what a lawyer tells me I may do, but what humanity, reason, and just tell me I ought to do. It is not what a lawyer tells me I may do, but what humanity, reason, and justice tell me I ought to do. Edmund Burke. Burke's words remind us of the balance between rules and common sense. And there is, and I think that is where we are falling off here in our country. We are forgetting common sense.
Yeah.
So
I see it every day. A lot of people don't have
have no clue. You know, it's just a shocking. So this particular case, the basic incident overview, and we are blessed to have the attorney that we'll be bringing in a moment. And we have some other special guests. Whitney Patterson, a 41-year-old mother living in Mineral Bluff, Georgia, was arrested on October 30th, 2024. Hold that in your mind, folks, because the day after October 30th is what?
Halloween.
Okay, so keep that, folks, out there. Halloween is the next day. I want you to just let that marinate, okay? Her son, Soren, walked less than a mile to a nearby town, and we know how these very small southern towns are. Across the street is another town. We're not talking, we all know I'm from Jersey, and we film in D.C., so yes, when you're walking, that's a next town is quite far. In these little small areas, a block and a half, you're in the next jurisdiction.
Right.
Her son walked to a store approximately less than a mile, and her attorney will be on shortly to really solidify the facts while she was attending a doctor's appointment. Now, this is a very, very interesting topic because we're talking about a 10-year-old child.
Okay.
A child, but he's a little man.
Right.
At some point, we and the parents have to start. We discipline children early on, right? We teach them. I mean, we don't want to get Freudian here, you know, with the id, the ego, and the superego. As the growing, we start training and teaching our children, about what is right and what is wrong. At what point is it time to give them responsibility? Luckily for us, we actually have documentation from professionals on when that should occur. So during this alleged walk, and we'll say alleged walk because, again, there is nobody. We do not try. Let me say this right now. We on this show, I do not try people in the media, and we will call out what we see to be true. A concerned citizen, and we all just love those concerned citizens.
Oh, don't.
Because you know what? Let's be real. They're not concerned. Yeah. Come on. They're not concerned. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. If they were concerned, they'd pull over. If they really thought, where is that? Here's a good point. It's not in my notes, and I love to go off script. Where is this person that was the quote unquote, if you're listening on the radio, I just air quoted. If you're watching on your cable TV, thank you. And if you're not there, demand it. Where is this concerned person? Why did they not stop? If they were so concerned about a 10-year-old, 11-year-old child walking in a nice neighborhood, very, like, almost no crime, like, almost nothing happens there, like a Mayberry kind of situation. Why did they make a call to law enforcement but not find it so dangerous and concerning that they didn't stop that to see if the child was, what's going on here? So the young boy's name is Soren. We had permission from the attorney and the family to say names because we don't, you know, generally you don't mention a juvenile's name on air, but we have permission to do that. So this prompted law enforcement to receive a call from somebody who was concerned. 5 hours later, deputies returned to the home. Now, mind you, when they, the deputies.
Why did it take that long?
That's it. And here's a great question. And I can't wait to get the attorney in here. And we will in a second once I get through this report. If there was such a concern, then why didn't they stop? And secondly, the officer or officers, I'm not sure. I know he can clarify. They drove this child home. Okay. And God knows what was said in the car. They can't really question him. And there is law. There is statute. I don't care what state you are in. There is law. Loco parentis is when somebody is acting in behalf of the parent. But this does not apply for this particular officer to be questioning this child. And then when they drop the child off, from what I understand, and again, the attorney will be coming in to hash this out with me, the law enforcement went into the home. Who gave you, the officer, permission, consent to enter a home without a search warrant, without the homeowner or the renter giving you consent? Fine, you dropped the child off. If you really felt they were in danger, you should have brought the child to the police station and then contacted the parent. But that didn't happen. They did find their way into the home, what I understand, and we're going to get more detail when we get the attorney on, that they actually went through the cupboards for food.
Really?
I don't know. What's it? Constitution, my book's coming out. A little plug. Fourth Amendment, folks. You have a right for protection from unlawful search and seizure of your person's property, papers, and things. What gave these, and only times that there are exceptions. There was no exigent circumstance for any law enforcement officer to enter the premises and especially start opening cupboards. So,
right. That's so invasion of privacy.
Absolutely. 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 So, they dropped the child off. I'm going to get through this and then we're going to bring in the attorney who really is going to hammer this home. So then approximately 5 hours later, Carrie, do we have the tape to run the tape after this next sentence I'm about to say? Folks, you will be shocked. If you have children, before we run this body cam, I suggest that you not have your child in front of the TV or listening, because we're not here to scare anybody. Not that this is a very gory situation, but it could be scary. It could be scary for a child and an adult. 5 hours later, that day, to arrest and charge the mother with reckless conduct, which is a misdemeanor in the state of Georgia. Carrie, let's go to the videotape. Let's see the police body cam. Unbelievable. Did you see that? Unbelievable. Again, if you're just coming in, I'm Eric A. Sinati, Eric Andrew Sinati, right here on the Hostile Zone on your AM, your FM, and iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and your cable provider, 2,300 stations in 57 countries. I'm flabbergasted by that video. With that, Carrie, can we bring in the attorney representing the family? So we can start conversing about this footage in this case. Welcome to the show. Dave, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Bianca, for having me on.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about your wonderful organization and what it is that you do? And then we'll segue into this case and then we'll hit more back on your organization.
Sure. Short version is parents in America have a fundamental constitutional right. And I don't know that we want to go through the legal explanation of the difference between constitutional rights and fundamental constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
But it's right up there at the very top. If so, that means we have the right to make decisions for our children. And I noticed as an attorney in private practice for decades, our government doesn't always honor those rights.
Really? Are you kidding, Dave? Really?
No. It's like the scene in Casablanca. I'm shocked.
Right. So you'd be shocked. You got to drive slow tonight after when the show airs. You got to drive home slow, everybody.
So I decided to take what I believe are legal skills and apply it to defending the rights of parents in many circumstances. So this case with Britt Patterson, and we're going to cover that, is part of what we do. We also file amicus curiae, friend of the court briefs. U.S. Supreme Court filed three this year.
Quickly, what the friends of the court means for the viewers.
Sure. And if you're up on it, you're probably a lawyer or would-be lawyer. So when parties are in court, the parties themselves, either represented by an attorney, or they're pro se, meaning they're on their own.
Any lawyer that has a represents himself as a fool for a client.
So the person, that case is going on. Sometimes it goes up on appeal. If it's on appeal or it's in the trial court level, and a third party, somebody who has no affiliation, connection to that particular case, can ask the court, depending on the rules in the state or the federal rules, can ask the court, hey, I would like to offer some policy considerations, or I'd like to offer more legal argument that may persuade you, court judge, in one direction or the other. You can be for or against a particular party. And right. The Latin phrase amicus curiae means, in essence, friend of the court. So in circumstances such as the U.S. Supreme Court, if they're considering a petition for certiorari, which is
another
we're trying to get this case into the Supreme Court, you can file an amicus brief, friend of the court, and make policy arguments. So a policy or legal argument. So we take that up. We see a particular case where parties or their lawyers reach out to us and say, hey, we're on appeal. We're in this circumstance. Would you consider? So organizations, some shout outs like the Cato Institute regularly files amicus briefs as well. In case I think
the Heritage Foundation gets involved too, some of that stuff too, right?
Absolutely. Excellent organization. Last week,
if I could just cut in 1 second, Dave, I'd like to just read the statute and for the people, and then you can go further. So the actual charge, folks, Georgia General Statute Code 16-560B. Patterson was charged under that code, 16-5-60B, which states, a person who causes bodily harm to or endangers the bodily safety of another person by consciously disregarding a substantial and unjustifiable risk that his or her act or omission, folks, just so you know, a crime is an act or an omission, will cause harm or endanger the safety of the other person, and disregard constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of care, which is what a reasonable person, and that's a standard that we lawyers use, what would somebody with the same level of education, background, et cetera, do in a similar situation, right, Dave? This would then therefore find her guilty, if this were the case, which clearly it's not, would find her guilty of a misdemeanor. Back to you, Dave.
Sure. I'm smiling a little bit as you're reading that, Eric, because I'm imagining all of your listeners and viewers around the country shaking their head, asking themselves, what does that mean? What in the world does it mean? I mean, if you see a sign that says speed limit, you know, okay, I can't go above that, or I'm risking getting a speeding ticket. If the law says you can't kill somebody, you know, well, if I kill somebody, I've violated that law. This statute is so unclear.
Unconstitutional.
In 1997, the Georgia Supreme Court had a case come before it. Yeah, it's Kelly v. State. I can pull up the citation.
I would, give it to the viewers and listeners, because we're going to have you back on the Thursday night on the other show, so we'll get people prepped and ready.
Okay, well, I'll bring you the citation for Thursday. So in 1997, a five-year-old child tragically died. His mother had gone out on a date for the evening and turned over his care to a 12-year-old, a half-brother. And we don't know what happened, but she got charged with violating this exact same statute.
And, you know, I don't know the case, but I can say, lawyer to lawyer, I thought that a 12-year-old could babysit minimally for a period of time if the child was mature enough and both parents felt that was safe. How is this the responsibility of the parent when they're not there?
You nailed it.
What is their culpability? What is their mens rea?
You nailed it. The decision the mother made was to turn the care of her 5-year-old over to the 12-year-old. And whatever happened after that was not the mother's responsibility. Similar case was in Maryland. A professor.
Can I get a caveat in there, Dave? Can I throw one in? Here's one that just popped into my head. They charged her in that case. You're talking this other case with the actions of the 12-year-old. Well, why not the parent of the 12-year-old? Why was she not charged and the father not charged for the actions of their 12-year-old?
The 12-year-old and the 5-year-old were half brothers. It was the mother was the parent of both.
Okay. All right.
So
I was already on a legal spin.
Yeah. Well, for the viewer's sake, let's say 5-year-old died, 12-year-old's taking care of it. The issue isn't whether or not the 12-year-old is old enough. That wasn't the issue. She got charged under the same statute, and the case ended up in the Georgia Supreme Court, and the Georgia Supreme Court did this, held the statute unconstitutional because it did not give fair warning to parents what they can and cannot do. And the phrase used is, it was vague.
Vague, void for vagueness. And actually, I want to compare this to something as stupid as parking your car. When you pull into a private parking lot and you go to park your car and the sign says no parking, you could park there anyway, because if it doesn't have a state statute on it, you cannot get a summons. You need to be informed of what the statute is in order to violate statute. Am I correct?
Well, I don't know that I can comment on that. I know I'm not sure I would park there. I saw somebody park in one of those fire lanes next to a store because they drove a fancy car and they felt entitled to do it. But hey, back to the statute, the Supreme Court of Georgia also added this. Because it's so vague, it gives law enforcement too much discretion, much power. They can arrest anybody at any time and just call it reckless conduct, which is absurd. Right. So since 1997, this statute, it's still on the books because the legislature hasn't gone in and said, hey, we need to take it out. But instead, it's on the books, but it's been ruled unconstitutional, applied to this situation, certainly situations involving parents. So what happens in 2024? Britt Patterson goes off to a doctor's appointment for one of her other children. Soren,
I believe her father was home, right?
Her father, the grandfather of Soren, lives at the house. Granted, he's disabled and in a wheelchair, but he's functioning, able to talk and handle.
Mentally, right.
And Soren is home because two of the four children, Josh and Brittany Patterson, have are homeschooled, two go to the public school. So she's off to the doctor's appointment and would take those children who are homeschooled. They have a choice. They can stay home and work on their studies, or because it's homeschool, they can jump in the car and go with them.
So you want.
She called out. He didn't get in the car. She went off. That was the end of it as far as she was concerned, until she gets a phone call from a deputy with the Fannin County Sheriff's Office saying, we have your child.
Now, what county, Britt, then was this? What county?
Fannin, F-A-N-N-I-N, County, Georgia. Now, Britt, who I look forward to your talking with Thursday evening.
Folks, Thursday night, we'll be back again for Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. And we will have Brittany and David on again, and we're going to get deeper into this case. So that means you have to come back Thursday night, 7 p.m. Okay, Dave, keep going.
And I'll put a tie and a coat on. But that said, I know this as a fact. I've watched body cam. I've seen it all. She got the call. Now, she knows her kids. She's not worried about her child.
I saw a picture that he looks way older than 11 as well.
Well, first of all, he was about a week away from turning 11. And I'll add this for all your listeners and viewers. I want everybody in America to know this. From the point of view of Parents USA, age is a terrible indicator for government to use as a bright line of it's acceptable, not acceptable, because nobody knows children other than the actual parent.
Everybody's cognitively at a different cognitive level. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean,
Yeah, and if three kids at 11, 12, and 15, a lot of parents might say, you know, my most responsible one is the youngest one. So age is a terrible indicator, and government should not use that in issues like this. So that said,
right. Unfortunately, they do, though. They take
she wasn't concerned. Yeah. Now, it's a little conjecture on my part, but it seems that the deputy who was making the call to Britt didn't appreciate that Britt wasn't all upset about her son being found in Mineral Bluff, Georgia, population 370. No stoplight, a four-way stop, no mayor or government because it isn't big enough.
So I did explain it early in the beginning when I said we're not talking a Manhattan distance. We're talking.
And let me add this again. Point of view as an attorney, as a advocacy organization, Parents USA takes the same position for Britt in Mineral Bluff, Georgia, as we take for the parents who live in Manhattan, whose kid walks down the road to get to the bodega and takes a detour and goes and visits a friend without the parents knowing. And somehow he's blocks away more than the parent thought or didn't even know he was away. And yet law enforcement brings him home. I doubt that they do that in New York City. New York's finest.
Yeah. Yeah. But they used to take it home a few times, but they wasn't because I was
young at that age. I've been sent to get milk or something at the corner store all the time. And I would never have thought one day my parents would get arrested just for that.
Right.
That's so scary.
And that's why I want to bring it up, because it doesn't matter that it was a small town. It doesn't matter that it was rural. It doesn't matter if it was Chicago, New York, L.A. It doesn't matter because what? If you happen to live in a part of town where there's a lot of crime, does that mean your children have to stay locked up in your home and never leave, or the parents? The parents are subject to being.
So which is worse, right? Which is worse?
Crazy.
So
then they would say, "Oh, if your child is locked up in the house, they're still going to make that a negativity." Right. I don't understand.
Then they'll say later on that they're a snowflake because they can't do anything because they have no sense of responsibility. They have no thick skin.
So she wasn't all that upset. The officer, on the other hand, starts asking this child questions. Now, keep in mind, concerned citizen. Let's use that phrase.
Really had interacted
and asked, "Are you okay?" Yes. Do you need any help? No, but call 911 anyway. And at that point, Soren, the way I hear it from Britt, I haven't spoken directly with Soren. I have met him.
Do you think we could get him on Thursday? Would he be willing?
I doubt it. Look, Britt and her husband did not ask for this. It came to them.
Yeah.
She's not backing down from her opposition to how she was treated and the charge, but she is to some extent trying to insulate her kids and her family from this. To some extent, they're in it. They know about it.
Of course,
they're aware of it. But I
forgot we have another guest here, and he was sitting there, and we were waiting for you to take your glasses off. Thanks, Mac. Say hi to the group. Mac and I go way back in the intelligence community, military. Mac is a home security and safety expert now, post intelligence world. What say you?
I say this is a gross overextension of power by the police. And also, we were talking about just cause and due diligence. I don't see any here. And one of the things that we work on, both Eric and I, is education for law enforcement in situations like this, but to prevent this from happening. Because
law enforcement,
my opinion on this is
this is not one of them.
This is not one of them at all. In fact, It's gross negligence by the officers themselves.
I'm hoping you're filing a lawsuit there, Dave.
Well, look, as Britt and I have discussed many times in our sharing with the media, is that it's premature. The criminal case is pending. She has been charged with a crime. She was arrested, as your viewers just saw.
Right, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That is traumatic. That is an infliction of emotional distress on that child. That's worse than that child walking the half a mile to where they went. Am I right?
Yeah, for many reasons.
It really is.
I'm not a psychologist, but I will say this. I think that the interaction between a child and law enforcement under these circumstances is horrific. Now,
They should never see mom handcuffed and pulled out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
but I'm saying
on TV. It shouldn't have been on TV either.
Eric, before that, he's stopped by law enforcement. His interaction with law enforcement isn't because he rolled the house with toilet paper, isn't because he hit a mailbox with a baseball
consensual
bat. He just happens to be in town, 9/10 of a mile away from his family home, and a police officer is talking to him, asking him questions. Puts him in the back of her sheriff's vehicle, asks him questions, ends up like, what does your mom do? Why are you here? Have you had anything to eat today? All sorts of things. They have no reason to be asking this. Now, law enforcement's going to come off with we're just concerned because he was unaccompanied. Well, you know what? An unaccompanied child.
It's like when they're with the radar on the highway. They're not looking for your safety. They're looking to get that ticket.
Right. It makes me wonder about the concerned citizen.
It's a total reach.
Does the concerned citizen know this child or know of the parents or the family?
Not that we know, like
a hate thing.
Yeah, well, here's the way I've described it, because, again, this isn't the first case. We've handled cases 2016 in Maryland, 2016 in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. case down in Waco, Texas, 2 years ago. Here in North Georgia, in Union County, 2020.
Anybody in New Jersey?
Nobody in New Jersey's reached out to us yet, but I'm sure our inbox.
I got some cases for you. You don't know how many people have called into the show or email in? A ton. That and the Institute of Justice, I sense up there too.
Oh, Institute for Justice. I love that organization. And just FYI, I reached out to them in 2013 when I was thinking of founding this organization and said, hey, how about if I join you and we expand your work in the area of parents' rights? And they were speaking of, I love the organization. I'm not saying this critically. They said, look, we're full. We don't want mission creep. So we're not going to do more than we do with regard to parents. And I thought we need an organization that's focused solely on parents' rights. So I founded. We're not in competition with them. We run side by side. They've been helpful in a couple of cases. I've consulted with them. So they're wonderful organization, IJ.org. Let me throw the shout out. So point being.
But we need to take a short break. Folks, don't go anywhere. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the Hostile Zone. Don't make me send Child Protective Services for you if I don't see you back in 30 seconds.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. I am so happy you're here because I really think that Child Protective Services are so overworked. Well, maybe not. Anyway, so we're back to the show. Dave, continue on with your marching orders because you have a great organization. So keep going. Let's tell them what's happening.
Thank you, Eric. And thank you again, Eric and Bianca, for even inviting us on. I know the story is really touched a lot of parents around the country, partly because of the chilling impact, the impact of, could this happen to me? Am I unaware?
Exactly what I was thinking.
And it does happen. And we're going to get into a whole section with these safety plans. I can't wait till we get there.
We're
going to talk about that.
So let me bring you up to date, or the viewers and listeners up to date on what actually transpired chronologically. And again, look, we're never going to get people to not call because they have some fear, concern, unreasonable though it may be. I mean, heck,
what is it? See something, say something.
People it's a whole new level.
9/11 was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, the way I've been saying it for 11 years now is this: when your in-laws or a neighbor, colleague at work tell you what you're doing with your child is wrong, you know, you really shouldn't let your child play tackle football. That's dangerous. You shouldn't let your child drink sugary drinks, or you shouldn't let your child ever use a handgun or a shotgun or a rifle. Some families don't. Other families do. That being the point is when somebody says that to you, you can choose to tell them where to put it.
You can
smile at them and just go, oh, thank you for your thought. Oh, you know what? My husband my wife and I, we'll give that some thank you for thinking about us. And
that's
then
a mild demeanor.
Then you do whatever you want.
Here's the difference.
Here's the difference. When somebody has a good
advice, I heard what you said, and that's it.
Now, what do you do when somebody with a uniform a gun, a badge, and the ability to arrest you on the spot or go get an arrest warrant substitutes their judgment for your judgment as a parent. What do you do then?
That is the statement, I think, that's going to get you to the Supreme Court.
I would be happy to be in front of the Supreme Court, but my prediction is it'll never get that far. Although my prediction also is we could be getting news this week, or we could get news 2 years from now when the statute of limitations starts to run, or frankly, the county prosecutor could allow it to run out and just not move it forward. And she's, meanwhile,
they do that.
Yeah.
Does the county prosecutor want a civil rights case? Because that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, the civil rights of Britt, her name is Britt, correct, David?
Yes, that's correct, Michael.
Okay. Sorry, civil rights of this, parent, the parents, their civil rights were clearly violated. We talked about earlier and off camera, David, when we said, you know, just cause. There is zero just cause. I mean, it was fine for them to, and I think they overstepped even picking the boy up and bringing him back home because there's so much danger.
I want to know what the court action was to actually think that they could go ahead and just circumvent the Fourth Amendment, circumvent other statutes for having a conversation with a minor that's not your child.
Exactly.
And going into the house, maybe, okay, you brought the child to the house, you walked in. But you're opening their cabinets.
This officer needs
to be disciplined.
Let me correct that. They followed the boy into the house when they brought him back and then stepped out. However,
and they have no just cause to follow him in the house.
Where's the just cause? They did not have.
I'm appalled. We are not living in a police state. On the flip side,
we are.
Are the officers trained? Why were they trained to follow this kid in the house? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
That's what you should be looking at, Dave. That's something we should talk about.
Protocol to say, hey, make sure you open the cabinet doors.
I'm trying to fill in. They came out, exited the residence, walked around the side where the grandfather lives in the same house, but it's in the lower level, and there's a side, like a basement.
Is there a walkway? Because you know they're not allowed to go up the curtilage.
So they walk. There is a walkway. So they walked around the grandfather, not knowing that he could have said no, you know, without a search warrant. They asked him if they could go in the house and look around.
Now is that on body cam?
Yes, it is.
And so, did he consent?
He did consent. And he lives there and he said no.
He had the mental faculties to consent?
I don't know otherwise, but let me not commit to that because somebody might use this as way.
I would like to see if we can get a forensic psychologist to do a workup on him and see.
Eric, what if Barnes was afraid?
He was totally afraid.
People are afraid. They tell, yes, do it because they don't know what to do. They're afraid.
It's like the old saying,
the right to remain silent. But then you you're guilty because you're not speaking. No, I just don't.
Well, Bianca makes a good point. The child was afraid. He didn't even know how to answer the questions coming at him from the law enforcement officer. And again, let me point this out. This is Mineral Bluff, Fannin County, Georgia. Let's say you're a black 10-year-old, almost 11, in Harlem or Brooklyn or Los Angeles, East Los Angeles, and your encounter with law enforcement after getting the talk from your parents that black parents give their kids about law enforcement. Right. And now you're sitting in a deputy sheriff's car, not knowing what you did that's wrong.
Yeah. Right. And they'll say anything. They'll say anything.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it is not a spontaneous utterance.
Being that age, I would be afraid to be in back of a police car for no reason.
Hey,
I'm
a lawyer. I wouldn't want to be in the back of a law enforcement vehicle. I'm an adult. So the kid's in there. He's being hit with questions.
Why would they put him in the back anyway, Dave? He's not a suspect. Why would they put him in the front seat and seatbelt him in? He's a child.
Isn't that
emotionally painful?
The deputy's going to have to answer that question. I suspect it's going to be something like we wanted him to sit so we could talk with him for a while. But you know what, Segway, let me tell you what I have shared for a while now, that I'm in the process of writing a bill to introduce to the Georgia legislature, and hopefully it'll go across the country, because we will try to find sponsors in every legislature Absolutely. Across the country. And here's what should happen. Somebody, a concerned citizen, their heart's in the right place. Their head isn't, but their heart's in the right place.
I like how you smile when you say that, because it's usually the nosy neighbor.
And I know the term that we're using, we've been using for a few years now, is the Karen. And I apologize for all the Karens.
I know. No one's admitting they can't Karen anymore. Yeah.
I totally understand
that. So they make the call. Now, people need to know 911 gets calls from people because their pizza wasn't delivered. And 911 tells the caller, sorry, we're not going to do anything. That's not our and rightfully so, because you shouldn't send a police officer over
to tie up the line. It's an emergency line.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you shouldn't use resources of law enforcement, right? No. So what should happen? Hey, I'm so-and-so. 911, what's your emergency? There's a child over here unattended. First question, does he appear to be hurt? Couple reasons you would ask.
And I actually have because I'm an EMT myself and I teach it. Why did they not call BLS, basic life support, ambulance? Because if you got a child, you would definitely want medical personnel there. Because what happens if he had a panic attack? He had any other condition? You do not know. So I don't know if I would want to put a child in your car.
Eric, I know you're an EMT, but I'm going to disagree with you. You know why you don't need a EMT there? Because he wasn't hurt. And he wasn't.
You shouldn't have been in it. Right. I'm saying since we went this far, why didn't they do that? That's what I mean.
Nobody should happen at all.
David, here's the yes but, okay? They had no idea if this young man had epilepsy, if he had brain injury. They had no idea.
That's the point.
Exactly.
They had no idea.
It should have never happened.
So, wait a minute. Hang on. Listen, people. If you have a dispatcher on 911 and somebody who's there with observing the child, let's get some information. Hey, caller.
That's their job.
Does he appear to be hurt? If the answer is yes.
AO times four. Alert times four. You know, the person, place, time, you know, all that stuff.
Well, what if that concerned citizen was exaggerating?
What about if it's the neighbor that doesn't like you and this is what they do to get back at you over the leaves that
But now you're coming up with a hypothetical we can't really answer. But if they say, yes, he appears to be hurt, he's bleeding, he's holding his arm, he's in pain, he's crying. Now, we send an EMT rather than maybe a deputy who is perhaps trained in first aid, but not capable with the EMT vehicle and all the equipment to attend to a broken bone or a deep wound. So why not ask that question? It should be required.
Right.
Does the child appear to be hurt? No. Okay, well, no.
That is a standard question. I went through that training. They have EMD, emergency medical dispatch, and basic telecommunicator. Those are extensive courses, and that's all questions.
They haven't released the 911 call, even though I've asked for it under both
Freedom
of Information Act and under.
Sorry, mark that down. Let's file it open public records and see if we can get it.
I want to know. And then the second thing that should be asked, if the answer to the question one is no, does not appear to be hurt. Question number two, does the child that you're calling about that's unattended by an adult nearby, does he appear to be in distress? Is he crying? Is he sitting down in a fetal position? Is he acting furtively, hiding behind something? Is he looking around, disoriented? Does he appear to be in distress?
Yeah, if he's obviously happy-go-lucky, I'm okay.
Okay, if the answer to question number two is no, one and two, no. One more question.
One more question. What is it?
Is there an identifiable risk of imminent harm?
Is death there a bodily injury, right?
Is there an open construction site, a swimming pool not fenced in? Is there somebody in a white van that looks really sketchy holding a puppy and a piece of candy hanging out the window calling to the child?
And you know what's great? I want you to segue me into this next section. I want to describe the statute a little bit. The statute defines reckless conduct, so it's perfect timing here. The statute defined reckless conduct as a conscious disregard of substantial risk, which the authorities claim Patterson exhibited. How? She was not there. How could they know? Apparently, they have a sixth sense in Georgia.
That's right.
Maybe they're going through the gateway process, right? They're back.
Well,
I got you. A little farm.
Yeah, they're remote viewing.
Yeah, the conscious disregard is nails it. Yeah.
But, you know, we got to throw a little farm joke in every now and again.
So let me, the statute that I want to see pass would say, if the answer to all three questions is no, the dispatcher tells the concerned citizen, well, thank you for your call. If we have an available officer, we'll send them by to check it out. Then you send an officer.
They can just drive by. They don't even have to stop.
Correct. They do not. They, in fact, are not allowed to engage by my statute. They are prohibited from engaging with the child. They look and see, does he look hurt? Does he look in distress? Is there an identifiable risk of harm? If the officer's answer to all three is no, they drive on. They don't get his name and report him to CPS or DFACS. They don't put him in the car and drive him home. There's nothing to do. Do not waste government resources.
I question the authority of driving him home. There is local parentis.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, that's a kidnapping. Did he want to get in that car? We'll be back in 2 seconds, folks. Don't go anywhere. Otherwise, I'm going to send a farm man over here to come and get you. We'll be right back.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back, folks. Right here, Eric A. Sinati and the lovely Bianca C-S-E-A. Right here on The Hostile Zone, pulling back that curtain, discussing a pivotal case in Georgia of a mother charged with a criminal offense because her child decided to take a walk less than a mile. David, the attorney, back to you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Eric. And thank you, Michael and Bianca, for being here. I'm just going to add this on. Law enforcement would often say, well, we have to do something. Something could happen. And if something happened to this child, everybody would be looking at us and wanting to hold us liable. Okay. But if the answer to these three questions is no, no, and no, then you are prohibited from acting. And if something later on happens to this child, you're provided with civil and criminal immunity. That makes sense.
Qualified immunity does not exist here because the rule in your statute would specifically define the actions that they must take and the actions that they cannot take. So therefore, qualified immunity would not come into play, which is why they will probably fight that you can never get this legislation passed.
Well, hang on. Part of the reason I think governments should want this is every administrative agency in the country, state to state and federally, wants a bigger budget. But you know, when you're wasting resources on arresting the mom, even stopping and talking to the kid, driving them home, and Child Protective Services or DFACS, depending on the state you're in, what they're called, you're wasting government resources. Hey, how about quit wasting it? So I think the people who are the bean counters in the legislature will go, you know what? This is a good idea. We need to quit wasting money on kids that aren't hurt, aren't in danger, aren't in distress. Law enforcement, go do something else.
Dave, how far into this legislation are you in the drafting process?
I should have the draft done this week, and then I need to find sponsors in Georgia, and then I'll start sending it to other states. Wait, the better part comes now.
Oh, I'm excited.
Included in the statute is the consequence when law enforcement or 911, if 911 doesn't ask the questions and if law enforcement doesn't follow the same protocol and the parents are, the kids picked up and taken home or parents are turned over to DFACS or like Britt getting arrested, do you have a private cause of action against those who have violated?
As an individual. I'm a sorry. Departmental claim and an individual claim against the officer.
Correct. Yes. It will be,
right,
and that will be, and that will be the incentive to actually do something. Because what we all know, you brought up qualified immunity. Prosecutors have absolute immunity. Judges have absolute immunity.
Unbelievable.
And law enforcement has what you call qualified immunity. And unless we're going to do a 4-hour course on qualified immunity, for your viewers and listeners, here's the point. These are not in statutes, people. The qualified immunity and the absolute immunity of prosecutors, judges, and law enforcement are court-created.
Yes.
Court-created.
Yeah, against yeah, it's funny how they legislate themselves.
So it's protection.
And now, I have a question.
Yeah.
As I'm not familiar with that county, is the district attorney and the judges elected there?
Yes.
I personally, on another note, I do not think prosecutors and judges should be elected, party line or not, because how are you going to handle cases when people donated money? I think it's just a terrible thing.
And you're talking about Fannin County, which is a very small county, population-wise, large geographically. But if you look at another county in Florida where we have an elected prosecutor, Fulton County, Georgia, some of your viewers and listeners may know what I'm talking about.
I'm very familiar. Yeah, I covered that quite extensively.
She was elected in the office after her campaign included promises.
I'm going to take Trump out.
Similar to the attorney general up in New York who campaigned on the, here's what I'm going to do, and that's how she got elected.
And let me throw in Alvin Bragg. Got to throw him in there because he's another disgrace.
So point is, law enforcement and prosecutors need to have incentives to follow the law, follow the Constitution. I've sometimes spoken of this. Isn't what's painted on police and sheriff's vehicles protect and serve?
Protect and serve.
What happened to
you? Know, I teach, and you know what the worst thing in policing was in America? Two things.
What?
The creation of a car and air conditioning. I swear to God, that's fact. That's fact. Because prior to that, there were call boxes on the corner. And that's why you called him a flatfoot. And a cop stands for constable on patrol. So that's where cop comes from. You heard it right here in Sonati. Professor Sonati, check me out. Constable on patrol. And they picked up and they walked and they checked the doors of all the businesses. So they got air conditioning cars. They rolled the windows up. They listened to the radio. And they are not in tune with the community anymore.
What about blowing the whistle?
That's Eric, you made a fantastic point just now. And
don't
David. If I could pose this question, in a small community, and I grew up partly in a small community in upstate New York, if something anywhere remote happened like this, the sheriff or the local police captain would just do a follow-up. It usually was very casual, Where's the community? We were talking, and Eric and I were talking about this last week on the president's constitutional carry. Where is the community involvement? Where is the community responsibility? So I think
that's where from Shire Reeve. I got you there, folks.
There you go.
Now you have to sign up for my classes. takes a community.
Michael, excellent point. Here's a couple of thoughts, and these are more rhetorical questions because all your very common sense and intelligent viewers and listeners are going to know how to answer these questions. The child's home with his parents. There's nothing going on that needs to be addressed. Yet 5 hours later, there's an arrest warrant application made. A judge signs off.
I was waiting for you to say this, Dave, because I'm wondering what they put in that. I would love to see it.
But why would it take?
What did they put in there? And what judge signed this?
I've shared that with your staff. And by the way, that's one of the points I make is, hey, if this law is unconstitutional, the magistrate maybe
should have known that.
We know that.
Now, was the magistrate?
It was a magistrate signed off on it. Here's where I'm going with that. They didn't even call her. I don't care whether you're, again, New York City or Mineral Bluff, Georgia. Hello, Mrs. Patterson. We have an arrest warrant for you. Would you drop in
a violent felon
within the next day or two? What is the rush, right? What's the rush going on? No, they drive to her house. 5 hours later, you all watched it. And incidentally, I think this
is... How many times did the body cam go on and off?
I'm sorry?
How many times did that body cam turn on and off accidentally?
During the arrest, I believe it was on, but only one of the officers had a body cam. The other one did not. Female deputy did not have hers on. In fact, at the very beginning, they're walking up to the residence, and she turns around to go back to the vehicle saying, I need to get my camera. And the other deputy says, I have mine. So they went up with one. Now, what's very significant is when Britt, again, very bright, very powerful person, I don't know if she knew what she was getting into, but her reaction to you're being arrested for the incident earlier today.
Yeah, I noticed that. She didn't even know. She looked back, but what incident? Because the heart wasn't an incident.
And Britt then followed that statement by the deputy for the incident earlier today with, last time I looked, it was legal for a child to walk to the store. And the deputy responds with, not if they're 10 years old.
I have citation for that here, actually. Well,
here's the point.
Let me get to that.
I can assure you there is no law in Georgia that makes it
not
criminal.
Not if they're 10 years old. Where does that say?
Yeah.
Where would you see that?
Well, no. There is an Academy of Pediatric Medicine says that around the age of 10, that this is when it is acceptable for a parent to provide responsibility. The reasonable person standard, what is responsibility to you may be different to me, but either way, he's 10 years old, and the medical professionals, not somebody that went to a 12-week training class, it's not for them to make that decision.
I'm smiling, Eric, for two reasons. One is you're correct. However, those are only informational and suggestions and advice by the medical profession. But here's the thing.
Unless if it went the other way, Dave. Unless if it went the other way, you know they would have them on the stand.
No. But here's the other thing. You go back to your reading of the statute. She did not consciously cause
consciously,
any situation.
Keyword.
Right?
He was never in danger but for the actions of law enforcement taking him in the car. Because you said prior, if there was a call and they had to respond, what would they have done with that child?
Right.
Here's my point.
You're right about that.
Hang on. If the kid was 5 years old, then the American Academy of Pediatrics advisory about being able to go out and walk wouldn't apply. So let's say the kid was 5 years old. Britt still didn't cause the child to be walking into town.
Right.
And by the way,
I think we were talking in the green room about the new bike helmet law. You buy the helmet through your son or daughter, and they take it off around the block. I mean, I didn't have that law growing up, but my mom gave me the winter coat, like in Christmas Story, and I took it off. You put makeup on it when you got around the block, right? My mom wouldn't let me wear gel. I had to hide it in the bushes.
Let's make that situation clear for your viewers and listeners. Let's say the law in your state is that a child under 16 must wear a helmet when riding a bicycle. And you're a responsible parent. You may not agree with the law. Maybe you do agree with it. Either way, you buy a helmet to go along with the bicycle. And your child puts the helmet on, has their bike. They don't need training wheels. They don't need you running alongside with them. And they're going to go riding off in the neighborhood. And you're fine with that. And then there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Wearing the helmet.
We all played in the street. Car! Right? I mean, that's what we all did. I didn't get run over.
The kid, your kid rides around the corner, now is out of eyesight of mom and dad. Stops and takes the helmet off, like, I don't want to wear this, sticks it in their backpack, and they're riding the bike without a helmet. How in the world is the parent criminally liable for that?
Yeah, there's no culpability. There's no mens rea, no guilty mind.
They didn't do it.
You don't have the corpus selecti. No actus reus.
You're using all those legal terms, everybody.
I'm giving it to you, Dave. I'm giving it up.
No, I'm saying.
I'm trying to plug them for Thursday.
When's the whiteboard coming up? We're going to teach law. Eric Sonati. And if you're going to do that, we should charge
Ed Woods if I'm going to be.
We should, actually.
Yeah, you should charge your viewers because they're going to end up getting their paralegal or law license right after listening to this. So
they really do.
If you follow me, I thought that was the deputy misspeaks. I'll just say misspeaks and doesn't say you're charged with.
Can you tell me what the misspeaking was?
Because when asked what the charge was, she says reckless endangerment. There is no such law. It's reckless conduct. But she said reckless endangerment. Right. Because I probably in her head is like, well, you endangered your child, which again, we've
What do you think? She came from CPS? What's her background? Have you pulled her personnel file on Discovery yet?
Don't have that yet. They're not her children. I'm sure your staff can research it. My understanding is she does.
I'll know Thursday. We'll know Thursday.
I knew she does. And has a Facebook page by her fiance, who's another deputy, I understand.
Hey, I got a question. Do they have pictures of the children on their Facebook? Because that's reckless endangerment, too. Because you're opening them to the view, which of the public, and a sexual predator could see that child. Now, are they going to, is somebody going to go kicking in their door with a warrant?
To answer your question is, because Britt is a real estate agent, her Facebook page is public and people can look at it. And I've looked at it this evening and you can see that she has pictures of her family. She has four beautiful kids, a handsome husband. Your viewership.
Very nice looking family. Very nice.
Yeah, your viewers should tune in just to see a picture of her husband. He's such a handsome devil. I mean, I don't know how he got hit with the handsome tree, and I must have gone right by it. But
Hey, David.
Yeah.
Hey, David. How can Eric's viewers help you and Britt right now?
We want to help your organization. We want to help you with whatever GoFundMe and whatever we can do, and tell the people what their resources are. We're going to put this up on the screen too. But how can they help? Where do they donate? What do they do? Because you're doing such finite work. And it's broad, and it needs funding. It's crazy.
Well, look, I appreciate you both asking me that question. And the answer is, if you go to parentsusa.org/donate, or if you go to parentsusa.org and at the top of the page, you'll see a donate. And you'll also see join, because what we really want, we don't really want our handout asking for money. We want a few hundred thousand, a few million parents in America to say, you know, once a year, or once a month, I can give $5. Once a year, I can give $25, something. And here's why. Because we need, parents need, I'm a parent. My child just turned 18. But we need an organization that goes to bat for parents, not just talks about it.
We need organizations that go for bat for people in general when government runs rampant. Like the Institute for Justice.
Yeah, the Institute for Justice. But again, on a cases like this, I can't speak for them, but I don't think this is what they take, the type of case they take. There are a lot of organizations that are advocacy groups, a lot of organizations that are think tanks, but mostly what I'd like to do is not end up representing.
Will you just put that web address out one more time? If the viewers aren't there in the call listening, they need to hear.
Yeah, parents with an S, parentsusa.org, and then you can donate. There's a donate tab at the top, a join tab at the top. And what we'd like to do is have people say, hey, you know, I'll provide $5. And here's where the money's going. The money doesn't get to Britt directly. It goes through our organization. We're providing her with free legal services. Now, the minute that those words came out of her mouth or my mouth in the media coverage we've had thus far, our inbox has been flooded with parents around the country in all types of different situations asking for free legal services and assistance.
Yeah, you got to be very careful.
And we're going through those now for your listeners. While we have a toll-free number, if they call it, we're not going to talk to you, because parents who are emotionally fired up and upset, scared, distraught even, are going to want to talk for hours. And we would love to give that time to every caller, but we don't have sufficient staff. So we say, look, email us. We'll be able to identify if your situation even qualifies, and we would like you to attach in the email help, H-E-L-P, at parentsusa.org. And on our website, we have a form requesting help.
And there will be on our site as well, folks, in the description and on the show's website and on Unplugged website. We'll have all the information to reach you.
Yeah. So
I have a question for you. Is there a guardian ad litem involved?
No, and nor should there be.
The child's rights were violated, I think.
Oh, well, we're going to advance his rights when at the appropriate time. But guardian ad litem is a term for somebody appointed by a judge in cases where they're going to get the authority to investigate and look at things. And there is no reason for that. There's no reason for DFACS to be involved. And if you'd like, let's talk about how DFACS got involved in this case. And what DFACS did.
And Terry, do we have another few minutes for that? Because I do want to get to that, and I want to get to the safety plan, and then we're going to move it into Unplugged.
We're already over an hour.
So let's quickly get to, quote, the safety plan, because people are saying Britt refused to sign it. Let's talk about it in greater detail.
And there was a GPS, too, something with that.
Yeah.
That sounds like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Let's talk about this Thursday evening, because here's what I want everybody to go away from this show knowing. The safety plan had nothing to do with making this child or any child
any safer. He was never,
was unsafe.
But for the actions of the sheriff's office, everything they did made the situation worse.
Yeah, you nailed that. He was never unsafe, and the safety plan they wanted did not make him more safe.
They didn't sign the safety plan. You're giving away your rights.
Well, again, for the viewer, people will go, well, why wouldn't a mom sign a safety plan? Well, it's because it isn't a safety plan. They just call it that to make people
go. It's a plan to take your child. That's
what if they say they threaten if you don't sign this, they're going to take away your child?
They do it all the time. Well, and you know, and another caveat before we close this out, folks, when you speak to any member of the government, not just law enforcement, you are entitled your constitutional rights. Your right to remain silent, or Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, and your Sixth Amendment to counsel. That includes a Child Protective Service investigator, a Child Protective Service worker, or anybody. Does not need to be the uniformed officer or the detective. Am I right there?
Yeah, you're correct, and it's not like I want to give legal advice to all your audience because nobody don't come back at me, but here's something I will share with you. Because parents and relatives and friends, nobody wants to look bad. In this case, Britt's mother and her father, when talking with the deputies, ended up saying some things that when you don't know the circumstances, you could twist it into, this is a problem child. There's nothing wrong with this child. He is not a problem. He has no diagnosis.
I was going to ask you, what's his grades? Is he a good student, right?
Well, he's being homeschooled.
From what I understand.
But he's bright. He's bright. He's a bright kid. All of our kids are bright and well-behaved and caring and good kids. There's not a thing wrong, but law enforcement and talking to grandma and grandpa who all know, and even Britt herself in the phone call, they're all acting defensive because as parents, you think, I mean, why do I have to worry about talking? I'm not going to get arrested. We've done nothing wrong.
That's the same thing where they tell you don't need a lawyer. And you're in there, yeah. You have a right to remain silent. So we got to come to a hard close. And I'm going to pose everybody out there a question today. Do you think? And please email in thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, or Eric@ericandrewsonati.com, or Eric@thehostilezone.com. Any one of those, or Bianca C@thehostilezone.com. We want to hear from you. We truly do. And we can bring this over onto the Unplugged. Do you think government should have intervened in this case? Please, parents, if you're home and you're listening to this, you are shocked. This is a scary situation for everybody. Every parent out there that's hearing this, Dave, is afraid now if this could happen to them.
It could trigger a PTSD moment.
You know? I think that's going to be a Thursday conversation.
The donations are going to go to us increasing our staffing so we can help more of you. It's not just for
and I'm pledging my support to you in whatever way we can do. Again, thank you. We're going to do this again. Thank you again. Mac, you have a final word? I'll give you 10 seconds because you talk like me. You got no more.
I just think you covered everything. But if you could mention the website again, David.
Yes. Yeah. Go get the people in the car.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's parentsusa.org. Okay. Our work only is within the USA. We don't go into other countries. There's no reason for it because here's really key, and I haven't said this. Nobody here puts forth our view of how you should parent.
Right.
We are only using the US Supreme Court decisions on parenting that says you as the parent, you decide so long as you do not cause actual harm to your child, long-term psychological harm, or significant physical harm. Otherwise, all you have to do.
You know, every state has its own rules. And in New Jersey, corporal punishment is legal as long as you don't leave a mark larger than a quarter.
So look, I
mean, literally every state is different. So
you don't have to be a perfect parent. You need to be an adequate parent. Now we would like you to be a really
active parent. Yeah. Or an active parent.
Yeah. You don't have, legally, morally, look, I'd like to encourage every parent, do the best you can. Do the best you can. Love your kids every day, all day long. Pay attention to them. Spend time with them. But legally, your obligation is to be adequate.
You need to be there. Thanks again, Dave. We're going to see you. Don't go anywhere. Stay in the green room. Stay in the green room, Mac. As always, this was a wonderful episode. I truly thank you for being here. I thank my guests, and I am thrilled that they were here, and I am thrilled that they were here to cover this on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you miss it, 15, 20 minutes after it airs, it will be in every single podcast platform that there is. Guaranteed, it can attest within 6 hours. If you just Google search it, it will be number one. So as we're going to close this out here, this was a very deep one, but call to action. I always have my call to action. Stay sharp, folks, my friends. Stay sharp. 360, 365, right? Keep your head on a swivel. 180 degrees forward, 180 degrees behind you. Your head must be on a swivel at all times because danger is around every day. It doesn't take a vacation. It's there 365 days a year, and you need to be aware of that. So again, I thank you. Well, I truly humbly thank you folks for making us what we are. And I hope that we're providing you the information and the insights that are making a difference in your life. With that, again, I'm Eric A. Sinati with a very large A, and I'm accompanied by the on-air vocalist who you will hear her wonderful rendition of the national anthem at the closing, Miss Bianca CSCA. Again, thank you very much for coming in. And I'm going to end us with our closing historical quote of the day. A government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take away everything you have, including your children. A government big enough to give you anything you want is powerful enough and big enough to take away everything you have. Thomas Jefferson, one of the framers of our country, words that should resonate with everybody every day of the week. Again, Eric A. Sinati from the Hostile Zone, coming at you every night, prime time, and in every podcast. Again, follow us on Thursday. Check me out, Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. We will be having this topic again, but we will also have Brittany, who was the mother, arrested. And we will get into further detail. Again, I thank you very much. And folks, what are we going to wait for? Miss Bianca, you're going to take it away with honor, pride, and patriotism.
Yes, by singing the national anthem, a cappella. Of course.
All right, folks, stick around for that and catch me tomorrow night, the Hostile Zone. Don't go anywhere. I'm always here.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, get through the night, that a flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave? Oh,